This is H1. We're going to be running it back with another episode talking about chess knowledge, chess wisdom, and chess understanding. And today we're going to be talking about the difference between an inaccuracy and a blunder in chess. Hey, I always usually ramble on in this part, but since this is the podcast and everything else that I'm on, hey, let's just get straight into it because this is H1 dog. Who says dog, man? I don't care. First of all, let's discuss a difference between an inaccuracy, a mistake, and a blunder. Let me write this down first. So an inaccuracy, let me just spell this right, make sure. An inaccuracy, let me triple check. An inaccuracy is not the best move, but it isn't a losing move, okay? But not a losing move. All right, so that's an inaccuracy. Not the best move, but not the losing move. The second word that we're going to discuss is a blunder. What is a blunder in chess? And these are all terms that every chess player should know. A blunder in chess is a move that pretty much loses right off the bat. A move that loses. So that's one thing that we need to avoid is the blunders in chess. The inaccuracies we can get away with, but the blunders, not so much. And the next word that we're going to be discussing is a mistake. A mistake in chess. What does mistake mean in chess? A move that takes a position from winning to even. Okay, so let's discuss these in length. And I'm gonna probably share a story or whatever. I don't know. We'll see. But anyway, an inaccuracy, not the best move, but not a losing move. An inaccuracy is a useful term to learn, especially when you're learning about openings or when you're looking at your own games and you're realizing, oh snap, what does that mean? And you're like, oh, is that a wrong move or should I have done that? I don't get it. Especially when chess engines get kind of tricky in those terms. Usually when it's an inaccuracy, you do a move on the chess engine if you're looking at your game, and then they'd be like, oh snap, well now you're, let's say you're the white pieces and you did a move and now you're minus 0.2, and you're like, oh snap, was that a bad move? No, it wasn't. It wasn't a bad move. It was just one simple inaccuracy. It wasn't the best move of the position, but it's not a losing move either. Now, the second thing, blunder, is interesting because we want to avoid blunders. Beginners do blunders all the time, all right? Too many blunders if you're giving away pieces. If there's like a sudden shift in the position and you're already, I don't know, minus, if you're already like minus 10 from one move, then yeah, you did it wrong. And now your position is all trash. That's what the chess engine is telling you. If your position turned to, oh, it was somewhat even, and then it's like negative 99. Yeah, no, it's horrible. You can't play that position anymore. And if your opponent don't see the win, then it can get back to a mistake. And we already know what a mistake is, a move that takes a position from winning to even. And that can happen all the time. There's this thing that's, I don't know what it's specifically called, but there's this weird mental thing that happens in a chess game where if you have a winning position, if there's too many ways to win that position, then your brain gets boggled. A lot of chess players know what I'm talking about, but when you have too many options of winning a position, then it's harder for you to even comprehend it. And then you start doing inaccuracies, and then they turn to blunders after a winning position. And that's why it's good to not give up in any chess game. Because if you just give up, then you could be missing out in the win in case your opponent do a mistake, which usually leads to a blunder. Because, come on now, if you have a winning position and then you, not blunder, but you made a mistake to make it back even, think about the mental impact that you had that opponent is going through right now. Because they was just winning, and then now they're sad because, oh snap, they can feel that they missed out on something. It's like taking cake from a baby, you know what I mean? You know what I mean. I got two kids now, and it's like taking a phone from a kid, you know what I mean? it's something like that. But anyway, those are the terms that are really important to learn about in chess, all right? And in the next segment, we'll be talking about why is this important to know. Okay, let's get started into knowing what a chess engine is, into improving our skills on a chess engine. But what is a chess engine? What is a chess engine? Well, a chess engine is just computer software that helps you analyze games. That's all that it is. It helps you analyze your games, and it helps you analyze your mistakes, your blunders, your inaccuracies, your perfect moves, your exclamation mark moves, your questionable moves. It helps you analyze all those things, right? And there are a few things that you need to know before you start using a chess engine. First of all, plus. So if it's plus five, then let's talk about the white pieces are winning. So if it's plus anything, that stands for white having an advantage, right? And minus goes for black having an advantage. So black pieces have a advantage. I think it's have an advantage, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, I know my grammar. But anyway, in a chess engine, they do this weird thing where it goes like 0.5 something or 1.5 something. And when it does that, it doesn't mean that you're in a winning position at that moment, because there are certain openings that even the chess engine prefer not to play. Like, for example, if you go into the Benoni positions in the chess engine, it is against the Benoni completely, and it'll always give white that winning edge in the Benoni. And usually they, in those positions, they give white like a 1.5 winning edge in that position. But in real life play with humans, it's not that simple. No, even though the computer gives white that advantage, doesn't mean that it isn't a playable position. So what does it mean? Well, when it's 0.5 to 1.5, it means that one side has a small advantage. One side has small advantage. One side have small advantage. And then the last thing I wanted to talk about is if it's past two, you should be in a winning position. If it's past two, you should be in a winning position, dependent on the strength of your chess engine. Past two. My bad. Bad handwriting, I know. But this is how you should be analyzing your games as a chess agent. So if you're within this little area, then yeah, one side might have a small advantage, but then it might just be the chess engine being like, well, I favor this side better because the more pieces are developed, even though it's still a playable position and it's played by grandmasters. Chess engines can be so weird. That's why you should be analyzing your games before you run the chess engine, so you're not confused about what moves are good or what moves are bad. But that's kind of the simple premise of what chess engines are like. And I'll go over a whole detailed video about how to use a chess engine into improving your chess independently, but this isn't the video for that. So, hey, hopefully you enjoyed it. All right, so why is this important to know in chess? Well, the first thing we're going to be talked about is studying purposes. It's really important because the difference between a grandmaster and an average player is grandmasters make inaccuracies. Okay, so these are the mistakes that we want to make. It's not even called a mistake, but these are what we're aiming for. More of these, all right? Clearly, you know, we want to have none of these, right? But if we're going to do something wrong, make it this. Make it an inaccuracy. And I know it's what's that term? It's better for me to tell you, but it's like harder to do it over the board. But I butchered that term. Put it in the comments if you know the phrase I was gonna say. But yeah, if we're gonna make a mistake, go for an inaccuracy. All right, you don't want to go for a major blunder or a mistake. And so when you're studying, the difference between a elite grandmaster and us average people is that they make inaccuracies and they pretty much avoid these categories, the blunders and the mistakes. Just look at Hikaru Nakamura playing games online on his YouTube channel, or what's another good player, or Magnus Carlsen games. Usually he's just outright beating the opponent and he avoids blunders and mistakes, and grandmasters get really good at avoiding mistakes. So once you can avoid blunders, then you go into avoiding mistakes, winning those games that you should be winning. If you're like up in exchange, you shouldn't be making moves that go from winning to even. You shouldn't be giving your opponent chances in those positions. So once you learn how to convert, then you go into avoiding inaccuracies. And these are the hardest things. And elite grandmasters barely make inaccuracies. Barely do it. It might be once or twice. Maybe once or twice. Maybe. Maybe. Have you seen Magnus Carlsen games? Maybe. And even in bullet games, even if you watch like Alireza Faruja, they don't make blunders. These elite grandmasters don't make blunders and they don't make mistakes. Once you can avoid these, then your chess playing skills will get tremendously better. I know it's harder said than done, but hey, just bear with me. I have a whole bunch of playlists on my YouTube channel that you can go into. Checkmate playlist. I'm starting to do a middle game playlist. I'm starting to do an end game playlist. I already got an opening playlist. A whole bunch of videos in your arsenal that you can use in your next game automatically. But anyway, the second thing I wanted to talk about, how this can be important, why is this important to know, is this knowledge should help you train your fighting spirit. What is your fighting spirit? Well, your fighting spirit is basically your spirit to win every single game. And no matter if you're losing or like in a drawn position, to exhaust all your possibilities of winning in that position, even if you're in a drawn position. What do I mean by that? That it helps your fighting spirit. Well, sometimes you can notice during the position if something changes. So for example, let's say you're playing a game and then you realize, okay, I'm winning now, and you're just continue on playing the game, and then you realize, oh snap, this just turned backwards. Because I thought I was winning, but then I feel like I lost the grasp. I lost the grasp of the position, because I see my opponent's pieces getting a lot more activity because they did that one tactic, right? If you can notice that, if you can have that reaction time to notice that at that moment, then you can change your mindset to, oh snap, I did a mistake and I should analyze this in an even position type of way, not in a dominating position type of way, like if you was winning that chess game. So if you have the reaction time to realize those things in an actual chess game, and this reaction time should be faster, especially if you're playing blitz or bullet, then you will have an advantage over your opponent. Because you know what is a big thing in chess? Let me wipe this off. This word that I don't think anybody's done a video about this, so I might do a video about this in real games for people to know how to do this accurately, is the word, I'm wiping the board, give me some time. I have the word in mind. Adapting, okay? Adapting is a big thing in chess. If you can adapt and realize when you made a mistake, made a blunder, or if you made an inaccuracy, then you're playing chess the right way. It's like in every single game, just like one example I could say is if you're watching a Tekken tournament, then you can realize that adapting is happening every single round. Especially they have to mix up their moves. So sometimes it's like a low hit, upper hit. I don't know about Tekken too much, but they pretty much have the same format, and that's why they have to like switch up the moves so that their opponent doesn't catch up to what they're doing. And that's what they do. They adapt to their opponent's combos. So like for example, I don't know. Let me see. So they might, the Tekken character, let me see. I'm trying to think of a Tekken character. I'm trying to think of it. Let's go with Lars, right? So Lars is on Tekken, and then his opponent, he's playing, I don't know. Let's just say he's playing H1, right? And actually, I want to be H1 and I'm facing Lars, right? And my opponent might know my strategy right from the start. And he knows that I go bottom first and upper, right? And so he's going to block bottom. And then the frame data, right? I'm not even going to try to explain this. What I'm trying to say is adapting is important in chess. All right. Adapting is important. And once you realize these chess terms, then you will become a better player. And there is one last thing I want to talk about, and that's chess engines. So let's go on to the next segment. You made it to the conclusion. Thank you. I appreciate it. Hopefully you acknowledge the effort that I put into all these things. Where's my napkin? Oh, snap. It's in my hand. Hopefully you acknowledge everything I put into these videos. All the effort, all the sweat, all the tears, and all the turmoil. I can't say the word. All the turmoil of just teaching you chess. You know what I mean? Especially with little kids. Have you ever had a 2-year-old and you're trying to teach somebody how to play chess? It's not that wonderful. But this is the H1 podcast, so who cares? We don't pity over here. We get stuff done. All right. Thank you for choosing this podcast. Thank you for watching this video. Hey, until next time.